The Old Testament reading is written in 2 Kings, chapter 7, beginning at verse 3, to be found on page 375 in the Church Bible. 2 Kings, chapter 7, verse 3. Now there were four men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. They said to each other, "Why stay here until we die? If we say, 'We'll go into the city,' the famine is there and we will die. And if we stay here, we will die. So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. If they spare us, we live. If they kill us, then we die." At dusk, they got up and went to the camp of the Arameans. When they reached the edge of the camp, no one was there, for the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army, so that they said to one another, "Look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite and Egyptian kings to attack us." So they got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses and donkeys. They left the camp as it was and ran for their lives. The men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp, entered one of the tents, and ate and drank. Then they took silver, gold, and clothes and went off and hid them. They returned and entered another tent and took some things from it and hid them also. Then they said to each other, "What we're doing is not right. This is a day of good news, and we are keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let's go at once and report this to the royal palace." So they went and called out to the city gatekeepers and told them, "We went into the Aramean camp, and no one was there, not a sound of anyone. Only tethered horses and donkeys, and the tents left just as they were." The gatekeepers shouted the news, and it was reported within the palace. This is the word of the Lord.
Please would you stand for the gospel reading.
The Gospel is written in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, to be found on page 1001 in the Church Bible. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
We're going to remain standing and declare together our common faith in Almighty God before we reflect on those two readings. So let's say together the creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As we stand, let us pray. Father, we do pray that as we come to your word now, that we might hear it as your word, that we might know that as we look at the Bible, we are hearing your words, and not just to people thousands of years ago, but by your Spirit to us today. So please open our hearts. Please sharpen our ears that we might hear your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do please be seated. What do you do with good news? It all depends really on what the good news is. We always have this dilemma in our family, well, at least I say we have, that's everyone apart from Katie, which is when we have people round. And when we have people round, sometimes Katie will cook two puddings. Now, I want to say right now, all Katie's puddings are delicious. But clearly there's some sort of ranking, isn't there? And that leaves us in a quandary because we're really thinking, me and the boys and Georgina, about leftovers. And so what do we do? Do we simply go for the straightforward bluff? Do we simply say that, oh, you know, X looks really good because we know that Y is better and we hope they'll go for X and then most of Y will be left over for the next few days? Or do we think, well, they know us quite well, so we'll go for the double bluff and we'll say that Y is actually looking better because it really is. And then Katie says, why don't we just be generous? So, what do you do with good news? Well, clearly some good news you don't really want to tell people about because it's a limited resource. Whether it's a beautiful isolated beach, you don't want to tell everyone about because otherwise they'll have their big day out there and it'll be ruined for all the locals. Or it may be a pudding thing. Sometimes good news is really only for a very small group of people, like my first item of good news in my list, that Crystal Palace won the Premier League, a very small and slightly odd group of people. And you know, clearly good news. But there is some good news that is so good news, such good news, and it is good news for everyone because everyone needs it, that actually it isn't right to keep it to ourselves. And that is the good news we have, and it's the good news we see these four individuals have in God's word. Four individuals you may never have focused on before, even if you've been a Christian for many, many years. Four individuals who are held up as examples to us of what it means to be people who proclaim good news. It's these four lepers in our 2 Kings chapter 7 reading. If you want to follow it, it's on page 375 of our orders of our Bibles in the chairs. Let me just get this one, remember. So what's going on here? Well, we arrive in the middle of a passage of scripture. And it starts with these four lepers outside of a city wall, at the entrance of the city gate, but they're clearly not being allowed in. So what is this city, first of all? Well, it is a city of God's people. It is the city of Israel. And this city is, at the moment, surrounded by an enemy army, the Arameans. So here are God's people in the city, surrounded by the enemy of God's people, the Arameans. And this is a very successful siege. We know this if we read back, because we discover that there is no food in the city. And in fact, we read of how it's got so bad that people are eating their own children. You might think that is, you know, a gross exaggeration, but we know from stories of sieges throughout history that this happens. So things are desperate in the city. You couldn't imagine being in a worse place than being in that city, except being just outside the city, in no man's land. These lepers are between God's people, at least protected by the walls of the city, on the one hand, their own people, and on the other hand, the Aramean army. They are starving, and they are outsiders. Outsiders from everyone. Rejected by all. Nobody wants to touch them. Nobody wants to go near them. They are outsiders and they are hopeless. This isn't boding very well, is it? They're hopeless. Verse 4. Look at verse 4. They find themselves outside and they go in verses actually 3 and 4 through the logic of despair. They say, why stay here until we die? If we say we'll go into the city, well, the famine is there and we'll die anyway. And if we stay here, we will die. So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender us. At least their logic is there's some chance that we might survive. So they've been brought to the lowest of the low. They know they have nothing to lose. And they go outside of the city. And then they discover an amazing thing. Our writer tells us what's been going on. They get up and they go to the camp of the Arameans at dusk. Presumably at dusk because they're lepers. And at dusk people might not see that. And so they might get away with it. And they reach the edge of the camp and then they discover something startling. Verse 5, not a man was there. So imagine that, trepidation creeping in the dark to the camp of the Arameans. You have to go late enough they can't see that you're a leper, early enough that they don't think you're an attacking enemy. And you are terrified as you take each step. Every part of you is saying, don't do it. And you see no one there. Why? Well, because God has saved his people. God has brought salvation to his people. He couldn't make it any clearer. So on the one hand, you've got the king of Israel in the city with his army, powerless. He's got an army and he cannot defeat the Arameans. God defeats the Arameans without an army. He gets them to run away terrified without using an army at all. I mean, that's like really showing off, isn't it? He gives out the sound of attacking chariots from the Hittites and others. The Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army, so that they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite and Egyptian kings to attack us. He's been messing with their minds. And so they get up and flee in the dusk and abandon their tents and their horses and their donkeys. If you're fleeing and you abandon your horse, you've got to have lost it. Because I don't know much about horses, but I reckon they're faster than I am. So you've got to be pretty desperate to say, right, I'm just going to abandon everything and go. That's how terrified they are when the Lord brings his salvation. So they discover that God has brought his salvation. And so they do the obvious thing. They have a party. The men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp and entered one of the tents. They ate and drank and carried away silver, gold and clothes and went off and hid them. And then they go and do the same thing in the next tent. They celebrate. You see, when God saves you, you want to have a party. It's why we celebrate Christmas and Easter in the way we do. That's why we had massive meals. And we had great celebrations and fabulous services. And we shared presents. And we rejoiced because we were like the lepers who've gone into the enemy camp and discovered God's salvation. That baby in the manger, that man upon a cross, that empty tomb, are a sign not that God has defeated an earthly army of Arameans, but that he has defeated sin and death and the prince of both of those things, the devil. And he's given the hope of forgiveness and reconciliation and eternal life for you and me, and the opportunity to become one of his precious children. That's why we celebrate. That's why we celebrate Christmas and Easter. It's why I think the Puritans, those Puritans who cancelled sort of Christmas, got it wrong. The problem wasn't that we were celebrating. The problem too often is that we celebrate wrongly. But often we can stop at celebrating. That's what the lepers were tempted to do. To just carry on going from tent to tent and have a great time. They could have done that. And often we end up doing that. We carry on meeting weekly to celebrate this great news, to sing together and to listen to God's word. And we just carry on celebrating it because we are saved. But the lepers don't. And we come to this very striking phrase here. They say to each other, we're not doing right. They realize that actually, to be saved and to do nothing else but celebrate our salvation is not right. They realize that judgment will fall on them. Perhaps almost certainly the judgment of the people in the city. But I think even more than that, the fact that they start by saying we're not doing right is they know that they stand before God. And they say this in verse 9, this is a day of good news and we are keeping it to ourselves. This is a day of good news and we are keeping it to ourselves. Is that what we're in danger of? This is a day of good news. Are we keeping it to ourselves? Are we happy that basically we get it? And we're quite happy for people to rock up if they want to and join in. But we're not actually going to go out and make sure they hear it. Is that where we are? This is a day of good news and we are keeping it to ourselves. So what do? Well, they invite others to join in the news, the good news. Let's go at once and report this to the royal palace. So they went and called out to the city gatekeepers and told them. They told them the news. And then the gatekeepers shout the news onwards. They told the news and then others pass it on. They invite others to join in the good news. Just as we are called by the Lord Jesus to go and make disciples of all nations. How? By proclaiming the good news about him. So who make the best inviters? Are they the impressive? The attractive? No. Four lepers. Four outsiders are the ones God chose. But why were they so good? Well, it's because they themselves knew and had experienced God's salvation. They knew and had experienced his good news. They had stood outside of God's people in no man's land. They had known that they were hopeless. And so the salvation they saw was so wonderful that telling others was instinctive. These four lepers are the best example of what our job as the church at St. Patrick's and as individuals in St. Patrick's is to do, to make the good news of God's salvation known. So what does that mean in practice for us? Well, in the last year, the Bishop of Southwark is the area of the Church of England we're part of. It stretches from the Thames down to Gatwick. And our bishop, Bishop Christopher, has called us to do something called mission action planning. That sounds a really off-putting term. But actually it's very simple. It says we need to be purposeful about mission. So what is mission, first of all? Well, mission is first and foremost the job of making the good news of God's salvation known. But then in mission we need to plan, we need to be purposeful. To actually think what we're going to do. There's loads of things we could do. What are we going to prioritise? And then the action bit is, well, to do it. So the PCC, who is the church council, got together and we thought about all the things we could do. We spent a day doing that. And we came out with a massive list, as you can imagine. So we cut it down a bit. And then we brought that list to you about half a year ago, 6 months ago. And then we got some feedback. And then the PCC chose three. And I want to suggest these three things, which are one part of our job of helping, giving other people the opportunity to hear this good news. And these are going to be our mission priorities for the next year. So here they are. There's a little picture of us. Well, the building. And there's our 2015 mission projects. What are they going to be? Well, the first is that came up was a parenting course. Now, a parenting course, I think, in and of itself, is a good way of blessing others. It's a good thing to do. It's a good way of offering people a way to live as God wanted them to be, to live as good parents. However, a parenting course also taps into some of the great work we already do with young families during the week. Whether it be toddlers or TGIs or Young Mums Bible Study Group, or whether it be some of the older groups like SPOC and others. We hope that running a parenting course might be a good way of helping people who are in those sort of activities midweek to get closer into the life of St. Patrick's. Not because actually becoming a member of St. Patrick's saves you, it isn't. But the more you get into St. Patrick's, the more you're going to hear about the good news which does save us, the good news of what Jesus has done. So from over either side of Easter, we're going to be running a parenting course. I say we. It's actually going to be Boz and Jill who are going to be heading this up. And we're going to have a parenting course to invite some of those young families along to as a way of leading them closer into St. Patrick's that they might hear the good news about Jesus. A second area is working on social media. We are blessed in many ways at St. Patrick's, and in some very practical ways. We have a lovely church building. We also have lots of parking here because nobody lives on this part of Park Hill Road, which is fabulous. Many churches would be envious of that. What we don't have is good visible location. We're hidden away. Whenever I say to people, oh, I'm a vicar in Wallington, they say, which church? And I'll say, St. Patrick's. And they look absolutely blankly. And I say, where it is? They don't even know the roads I'm talking about. You know, you have to start going from the girls' school and then turn left and turn whatever. I say, oh, okay. You know, we are visibly invisible. But the great thing about social media is it is visible, whether you're geographically visible or not. And when I mean social media, what I mean is things like the website, Twitter, Facebook, email. Ways of actually being seen and known, even if we're not geographically visible. But also because social media is most used by those who are least represented in our church family, and whom we would love to have many more of, people in their 20s and 30s. So the PCC has set up a team who over this year are going to be looking into this, a team led by Tony Clark, and they're going to be looking into how we can use social media so that people are then brought to a place where they're going to hear the gospel, hear the good news that God has saved. Now, so far, there's a big job for us to do in both of those, which is to pray for these things, and then to think, who might they be really good for? But the third priority or project is something which is for all of us. And that is a year of seeking to become an inviting church. Society has changed a lot over the last 20, 30, 40 years. Increasingly, people have little or no contact with church. In fact, the group who had the most contact with church now are people who have come from overseas to live in this country. They're the ones who tend to have more of a church background, people from Eastern Europe or Africa. The vast majority of my generation have no meaningful contact with church at all, or no meaningful experience of church at all. They might have been to the odd wedding or funeral, but that is really quite unlikely, because the vast majority of weddings and funerals are now done outside of church buildings. So their connection with the church is going to be very slight. What does that mean? Well, it means that very few people of my generation and below will come to church simply because they feel like it. You know, that one day they wake up and think, oh, I might try church again. Because there's no again about it. They've got as much chance of going to the synagogue or the mosque as of coming to church. So what will bring them in? Well, it will be an invitation, a personal invitation by somebody they meet, even better, somebody they know, who comes to St. Patrick's and who loves being part of St. Patrick's. It's going to happen because you and I invite them. So the aim, the third project has this aim, to increase the number of times St. Patrick's people, you and me, invite others to church. Invite them to church. Well, what does that not mean? Well, it doesn't mean necessarily a service. That may be a big step too far initially. It may be to a life group social. It may be to one of the social events. It may be to one of the midweek groups like TGI's or Wednesday Afternoon Fellowship or Cameo. It doesn't necessarily mean a service. It doesn't even necessarily mean invite to St. Patrick's Church. Well, why was that? Why did the PCC want to just say invite others to church? Well, that is because many of us work a long way away from Wallington. And so the people we work with live many, many miles away from Wallington. So, and yet we spend a huge amount of time with them. So what are we aiming to do? Well, just to invite them to church. It may be a local church local to where we work, which has services during the day. Or it may be to try and find a church near where they live, to invite them to that. And thirdly, it doesn't mean increase the number of times people come to church through invitation. What I mean by that is we're not measuring success by how many people then come, but actually how many times we ask. Because my conviction, the reason they come will be A, because they've been invited, but B, because God stirs their heart. And we can't do anything about that other than pray. But we can invite. We can keep on inviting. And often we're going to see that doesn't happen. They don't come the first time we invite, not even the second time, not even the third time. Often it's only the fourth or fifth time that people come. We keep on inviting. And so over the next year, we're going to be keeping coming back to this. Over the next few weeks, we're going to have a sermon series helping us to get over some of the questions we have about inviting others to church. And then throughout the year, we're going to be carrying on doing things to try and make it easier to invite people along. So we're going to carry on having our regular services and rejoice to be with one another so that becomes a contagious thing. Lifetime, we're going to have some visiting speakers over the year so that we can invite people along, take advantage in particular of the election, taking advantage of a contact I made with somebody who's an expert in the Old Testament, as well as somebody who's going to come and talk about forgiveness in September. We've got our midweek activities. We've got a whole load of things to invite people to. Spock, Lunch Club, Toddlers, TGI's, Cameo, Wednesday Afternoon Fellowship, Lunch Club. So I said Lunch Club tonight, but so many other things. We've got the social events, which the social committee, the fun team, organise, which are cracking events. They've been brilliant. We've got our life groups. We've got Christianity Explored. We've got the parenting course. There's loads to invite people to. So the challenge for us is going to be to take that step of inviting people. To say, like those lepers did, this is a day of good news and we are keeping it to ourselves. And to realise that's not right. And so to invite others. Let's pray. Father God, we pray. Well, first of all, we thank you for the great news of your salvation. But we do pray that we will not keep it to ourselves, but that we'll pass it on to others. Lord, please may the social media project work well. May the parenting course be effective. Because we know that neither of those will actually have eternal results except by your grace. But we also, Lord, pray that you will change us into being an inviting church, to get us so excited about the good news of your salvation that we are just overjoyed in inviting others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.